From the rain-swept hills and valleys of Studio B, this is View from the Bleachers. This is Eric.
I'm Aaron.
How's it going today?
It's all right. It's a rain. We got a rain yesterday. It was kind of nice.
Yeah, felt good. I get to mow.
I think my grass actually turned green already this morning from
No longer cut my feet on my grass, right? which is kind of nice. You can enjoy your lawning.
It's like walking on crackers.
It is. Not great. Not great. Yeah. Welcome back to the weather edition of WDRT Mornings. We do every time.
It's summer.
We talk more about the weather than we do about Dan Campbell at this point.
Maybe we should talk more about Dan Campbell.
I have the NFL lined up at the bottom
of
the page for today.
Fair. It's fair today.
It's if you can tell me three NFL stories, we'll start it at the top, but I can't. I looked. I tried. We got Brewers. We're going to talk Brewers at the All-Star break. They are currently sitting a game behind Cincinnati. They've been playing better than good baseball. It feels like the Brewers of old, where they have just enough hitting and some really good pitching to be able to win 6 out of 10 games, which is what they've done over the last 10, and the last 10 before that, they were right around there. They're consistently above average. They have, two above average position players currently. Out of 9 or 10 regular players of the Brewers.
So are they going to do anything, you think? Maybe
trade wise?
Yeah.
No.
You think they're just going to hold
it? I feel like they could be a seller more than a buyer, just like last year. I feel like they're floating along. They have some starting pitchers to trade.
Right.
And those are big chips when you're. When you're making decisions on trading Josh Hader, you were pretty sure that was going to work out. Devin Williams has turned into an all-star. His numbers are phenomenal. They are Josh Hader-like. He's been on ERA under 2 all year. He's been great. But trading a full-fledged 27-year-old, 28-year-old starting pitcher is a big chip.
Yeah.
You can get some. You can rebuild farm systems. You can 2-3 years down the road. You can get guys that make a big, big difference. So I feel like they could be sellers. You could get rid of a Corbin Burns, and it would hurt my feelings. But just like last year when they traded Hader, I have a little bit of faith. The organization has been really good over the last 5 years. They've been one of the better organizations in the National League, which is weird to say for a team that hasn't won a playoff series. They've been consistently good. So they've Willem Contreras and Christian Yelich, maybe Owen Miller, are about the three only above average players, not only in batting average. Yelich and Owen Miller are hitting .285. And Willem Contreras over the last month has got his average up to .262, which is for a starting catcher, hitting .262 and playing nearly every day as either a DH or as a catcher. He's been great, all three of those guys. Nobody else on the team is hitting above .220. Six guys, whether it's Joey Weimer, Rowdy Tellez, Brian Anderson, whoever it is they're Bryce Turang. They're all hitting .200.
Right.
Willy Adames missed. He missed almost a month, maybe 3 weeks of the season, 2 weeks, and he is still the home run leader for the Brewers, hitting .212, has 16 home runs. So their offense is not what's winning them anything. Other, like I said, top of the lineup, situational hitting, they're doing okay because they're stealing a few bases and hitting a decent amount of home runs for as terrible as their average is. Unfortunately, it's just a lot of solo home runs. So it's been pitching, just like every year since anybody who's listening, a current fan, probably 10 years, 5 years minimum, that the Brewers have won with basically bullpen and defense. And they're doing it again this year. Defensively, they're in the top third in all of the metrics that I don't understand for defense. They're catching a lot of balls, and they're in the right spot, and their catchers are framing pitches correctly. They're not losing any games with defense. They're not losing any games with their bullpen. Devin Miller, like I've been, or Williams, like I said all year, but I'm gonna name two people because I'm guaranteeing not going to say their names again for the rest of the year. Joel Pampas and Bryce Wilson have been the unsung heroes of a bullpen. They're the guys who come in the top of the fifth. Hobie Milner, another guy, the only lefty in a bullpen, comes in for an inning, comes in for a third of an inning, gets two guys. The Brewers have been stringing along. If you look at any box scores, and I know you do. I can see you right now. You're looking at multiple box scores instead of paying attention.
I'm not paying attention. It's baseball.
Box scores. They're the ones putting up the shutouts in the sixth, seventh, eighth. They're the reason that they're winning game because they're just the other team doesn't score runs after the sixth inning when you're playing the Milwaukee Brewers, whether it's home or on the road. So those three, along with, like I said, Williams, are the reason that the Brewers are 49-42.
They're competing.
They're competing admirably. They got four more games coming up against Cincinnati starting on Friday.
Okay.
Like they had four to home games against Cincinnati to go into the All-Star break, and four more going out of it. I think they have the Phillies and or the Braves coming up after that. It is the dog days, as they say, for baseball, because if you're a Brewers fan, they could win. If they can keep winning 7 out of 10, 6 out of 10 for the next month, they're going to put themselves in a really, really good spot, because only a half game out of the wild card means, they should be a postseason team. A lot of the, you're going to see in the second half, some of these AAA players coming up next week, I'm sure. At some point, we'll start talking some of the players that'll get inevitably called up, whether it's because of trades or injuries or just because you can't just keep fielding a team full of guys hitting 220. It's not easy to watch, but it's also just not winning. It's not a good baseball. So, like I said, they've got a nice couple weeks, but starting Friday, you've got pretty much a game every day, 15 games in 17 days, something like that for the Brewers. So, go Crew. Like I said, at this point next week, we could be talking once again trades, or we could be talking buy, or we could be talking, hey, we're in first place again. So go.
I was just reading an article.
Sure. Look at you.
On the Brewers saying Corbin Burns will not be traded.
Interesting.
Guaranteed by the GM, what's his name, Arnold?
Matt Arnold, I believe is his name.
Yeah. He said that this is from Corbin during the All-Star game.
Yeah, I'd like to see how many times Brian Gutekunst mentioned never trading Aaron Rodgers before. I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. They wouldn't be having to talk about not trading him.
This writer is saying that not being traded, the Milwaukee Brewers are going to be buyers right now before August 1st.
You know, it feels like the other last year, you could be buyers and sellers. Like, you could still, arguably, because Corbin Burns has been barely above average. You could sell your best. You could trade your best and still get other pieces. But, I mean, I'd like to see him at one point in my life keep one free agent pitcher in the prime of his career just once. They have never done it. They've traded for a couple. They've kept guys right up to this point more than a few times, but they have never spent real adult money on major league starting pitching. So,
you know, I'm just being a Twins fan.
Sure.
Just a whatever fan. Do you think they consider the fans' opinions? You know what I'm saying, though? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, all right, at some point you got to start winning before you lose.
Fan in me wants to say yes, but the realistic part of me, and also the, like I said, I have this thing where I've played so much Madden franchise where I feel like the GMs can just trade guys without thinking about it because the math works.
I mean, at some point you got to start winning.
And I guess it's baseball's a funny, the definition of winning is so, the Brewers have the fifth best winning percentage in baseball over the last X number of years. They haven't won a playoff series. I would consider this the most successful era of Brewers baseball in my entire life. I wasn't around for the early 80s when they went to the World Series. Right. And I don't remember, they've had to make trades to make that happen, and they signed some guys and they kept some talent around, but I mean, yeah, so for me, if you're not winning with them, yes, you should. If you should either be the best or the worst in all
if you're
pro
not
sports.
First, you're last,
and it's in pro sports, it's okay to be last for a couple of years because you restock. You get a chance to, if you're the Brewers, draft guys who win championships. Same thing the Orioles are doing, the Diamondbacks are doing. Teams do it in baseball. You have to build.
Yeah.
Go through. And the fans support the Brewers pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not doubting that they're not devout fans, but just being a Twins fan, you know, I have the luxury of seeing both 87 and the 91 Twins win it all.
And that was a remarkable amount of the same players. Also, they kept a core in there.
Yeah,
the Yankees did it in baseball.
But I know this time and day and age, that's not really really able to do that for the most part.
It's over and over. Baseball is that sport where you can do it because the owners say it's a small market. They are billionaires. There is no salary cap. They are spending as much money as they want to bring success to their. So if you want to reinvest all money, because they all made money.
Right.
Even the owner of the Oakland Athletics.
Because they all share it, right?
There's revenue sharing. Yeah. So they can spend all the money. They can be a small market and still spend all the money that they possibly can. Places like Seattle have done that. You know, you spend some money. I'd like to say they consider us fans, but, you know, they also know the fans will be there. There'll be a generation of fans who will still support them, still boo them if they lose.
I guess I look at it on the side of, you know, Minnesota has a brand new stadium, new stadium.
Yeah.
You know, Milwaukee did have
sparkly new stadium 10 years ago.
Kind of falling apart. Yeah. But in order to get those stadiums rebuilt or new or whatever, it's you and I as taxpayers in the state of Wisconsin for the most kind of put up the bill a little bit.
Yes.
And at some point you've got to go, okay, why do we want to, you know, give this much more money again?
It's remarkable what happens when cities decide we're not going to give you any. Oakland's a really good example. That team's leaving. So when a team decides, or when a fan base decides with their wallets to not support a team, the teams fold and go. Baltimore did it.
Yep.
There's been lots of teams that have decided, you know, there's not enough money here. We're going to go to greener pastures. That's how Milwaukee got a team.
Yeah.
And, you know, so at a certain point, you have to consider the fans. But like I said, this is the golden age of Brewer baseball. They've as many times as I've said, why'd they? For the most part, they've done the correct trade.
Right.
They, like I said, sign me one Corbin Burns because he's going to be very expensive. 28-year-old all-star pitchers go for like $30 million a year. That's a lot for anybody. And they can be with no salary cap. Some team can offer him $35 million, and the Brewers just won't do it. But so you'd like to see. But that so what else? Baseball. There was an all-star game.
Was there?
There was. It was a good game. I won't bore you with any of the details. It was a 3-2 game.
And the game does not matter anymore because it used to.
Yes, it used to matter.
The home field advantage?
It used to be home field advantage for the All-Star game. Now it matters not.
Right.
Now, which is good because it's an exhibition. But it's the only exhibition I was watching that there's no half speed because pitchers can't throw half speed. They can't throw a 91 mile an hour.
That'd be softball then.
And batters can't swing two-thirds a bat. Guys can't field two-thirds or steal. So it was a real good game. It was a 3-2 game. The winning run was on second by the end of the game. There was great catching, great defense. Yeah, it was a fantastic baseball game. That was all of that. The home run derby.
Yep.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Won the home run derby. He had like 40-some home runs. His dad won back... his dad, Vlad Guerrero Sr., is a Hall of Famer, played for my favorite team of all time, the Montreal Expos.
Oh, yeah.
And a variety of other teams. But he was a Hall of Famer. Their first son and father's son, obviously, to win the home run contest. His dad won it with 17 home runs. He and his son hit more than that in the last round. I watched it because it was sports on TV. And,
right.
It wasn't fun to watch. Yeah. Guys were really gassed. They started out swinging for the fences, and by the end, there were guys just barely blooping it into the outfield, opposite field, just gassed. There was actual installed timeouts. Guys could say, "I'm tired, stop throwing to me for a little bit." At that point, you could tell maybe it was over too much.
Because how was it before?
There's been so many different
variations.
The first home run contest was won by Dave Parker in 1977 with 7 home runs. It was best out of 20. The first one was most home runs out of 20, and he hit 7 out of 20. And from there, they've done it timed, they've done it rounds, they've done it cumulative totals. They've changed it up to try to keep some interest in it. I mean, turns out baseball fans will watch an all-star game. No one else will.
Yeah.
Nothing else you can do to make baseball real interesting. Right. I watched football... use long snappers to play tic-tac-toe to try to drum up some interest. What are you going to do in baseball? Maybe you can who can throw it the farthest competition.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd watch that, but probably not. Who can hit it the hardest? I don't know. So that led me to what's better, a dunk contest or the home run derby? Through my lifetime, the home run derby has It's just always been there.
Right. But
the slam dunk contest used to be so cool.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan and Julius Erving and Dominique Wilkins. And I remember all sorts of, I remember Isaiah Ryder. I remember all sorts of great dunks by really Dwight Howard and Blake Griffin. I also know that nothing good has happened in a slam dunk contest in about 10 years because
at least
you can't do anything.
The superstars don't.
That's also correct.
They don't want to participate anymore.
None of them want to finish second.
No, well, not only that, but none of them going, okay, if I do this super dunk, I'm going to maybe injure myself, yeah, then I'm done for the rest, you know.
And they're famous enough now through any other means besides basketball or especially a dunk contest that they don't have to enter these things.
Right.
So it's been won by guys who were in the G League. The last year was Max McClung, who was in two exact games for the Philadelphia 76ers, and he won a slam dunk contest.
Yeah.
So at this point, I feel like, and I, like I said, I watched
football.
I mean,
there's still cool dunks. I mean, there's still cool things to watch.
That's the thing, too, is I can't do anything like that. Right? It's amazing to think that a guy can spin a revolution and a half and slam a basketball that which is 10 feet in the air. It's amazing to think about, but it's also really boring to watch when you've seen it 500 times.
Yeah, true story.
So, yeah, most of the All-Star game, like I said, it's baseball All-Stars game is done. They had a week off. They could finally get back to it where they now play about, you're over halfway. You got about, I don't know, 70 games, 60 games, something like that. Math is hard, but you're entering the home stretch where you've got a trade deadline coming in a couple weeks.
Yep.
No one has been really traded yet. There might be some big Shohei Ohtani. They were talking during the All-Star game,
but they're actually kind of they're still in the hunt
Games back. It's one of those. Right. You could see the biggest trade in Major League history if the Angels are bad in these next 10 games,
right?
Because there's no amount of people you could trade for this guy to make it. Even if he's a rental, even if you just get him for the last half of the season, he's a hitter and a pitcher, and he's an All-Star at both. So what you could trade for
him?
He had
like 32 home runs before the break here.
Yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah. There's crazy. I mean, he's got numbers, and Babe Ruth was only a pitcher for 2 years, but he's surpassed all of Babe Ruth's records for guys who've struck out and hit home runs. He had a month. His last month that he had of the season was like he had like 20 home runs, and he had 30 RBIs, and he had 5 wins, and he had 50 just these incredible numbers. And watching him, he's great. Yeah, so there might be a trade where you could restock your entire, you could ask for every good player, and the other team would have to consider it because he's also going to sign a contract worth 40 to 50 60 million.
You could
keep going up with that.
I think I was hearing the 600 million for
10 years. $600 million, is bananas. I remember when A-Rod got 10 years, 250, and that was a lot, but that was...
Well, Judge, last year, what did he get?
Right. He got was 40 and change. I could flip back through the notebook. It's about 8 pages back. That was... So like I said, that'll be an interesting thing. I'm actually, because I'm not an Angels fan, I would love to see a giant trade like that because, hey, I've never seen...
As long as it's a smart trade,
I mean, even if not, it's I'm like not a fan of either.
It's like the Timberwolves trading for freaking, what's his name?
Here's the deal.
Rudy Gobert.
If the Brewers emptied their AAA everything to get Shohei Ohtani for the rest of the year, I would say that's the coolest thing they've ever done. Let's do that.
But they'll never do that.
But they would never do that. There's about four teams who will inevitably do that, and they're the same four teams who make those same trades every single year. So that'll be kind of an interesting thing. There was... couple of tournament-related things, I guess, if we're talking. There was talk of an NBA midsummer tournament. Do we have enough time for me to explain this?
You've got... How long is that? You got a little bit of time.
All right.
You got a little 6 minutes.
Good. It's kind of wordy. The NBA midsummer tournament. There's an 82-game regular season in the NBA. Which is kind of long for anybody. It's a long season. A lot of players skip a number of games because of how long it is and how grueling and how some of the games really don't matter. Well, the NBA has solved that problem because games from Friday, November 3rd to Saturday, December 9th, randomly throughout. I'm assuming it's going to be on weekends. It's going to be on primetime slots because all these games are going to be on primetime.
Sure.
These are the midsummer tournament. They all 30 teams. Have been divided into 6 groups, 5 in each group. You will play all 4 of those teams that are in your group home and away, so you play 4 games.
Sure.
Those 4 games put you into The bracket, kind of like the World Cup was.
Sure.
You get 3 points for a win kind of thing. So the most points moves on to the knockout stage. There will be 8 teams in the knockout stage. Those will be the best 2 out of all the divisions plus a wild card.
Okay.
You'll have 8 teams. You following me so far?
Yes.
Yes. So throughout, those games will also count for the regular season. So they're not extra games. You're still going to play 72, but it really means that this load management and this I only play on important games things, some of these games really are important. You're going to see...
When's the All-Star break for the NBA?
It's in February.
So they get 2 major kind of breaks.
Yes, so there'll be some nice breaks in there. The NBA has also changed some rules where you can only win first team, second or third team, all NBA, if you've been in, I think it's 55 or 60 games.
Oh, minimums.
So now the load management, you really got to be real particular, really paying attention, because some of these games in the middle of the season, you know, in this little stretch, are going to be really important games.
Sure.
Because, I mean... That being said, the midsummer tournament, like I said, there's a knockout, there's 8, then it goes to 4 and
sure.
2. The semifinals and finals will be played in Vegas at the beginning of December, because of course they will, because they won't have an NBA team, but they will absolutely have essentially an NBA franchise running out of Las Vegas. They're running 2 different tournaments out of there. So that'll be, the winner gets money. There's a prize pool for the winners.
Hmm.
And also, literally, and it says here, NBA Cup. You win a big trophy with it. Well, you get to win a big trophy. So, you know, mid-season tournament, it doesn't impact the playoffs. It doesn't.
It could. Do the games count?
Those games, besides the single championship game, all the other games, the 67 games that are played within that tournament, all count for the regular season also.
Standings.
Yes.
So
and you are playing the 6 teams, the 5 teams in Milwaukee, the Knicks, the Heat, the Wizards, and the Hornets. Are the teams that Milwaukee plays against.
But so pretty much everybody's going to be playing then.
Everyone is playing. Yep. All
30 teams.
So it's
not really a break then.
There's no break, but these games now count.
Right.
So what, I mean, you could catch a...
So you won't, but your team, I mean, it's just not one of those All-Star games. This stuff you have to win because like at the end of the season...
Yes.
Those games still count. Yeah.
Yeah, those,
okay.
those,
yeah.
These 4 games don't matter less than the other...
But they were playing regular
some games. No,
right.
these count just as much. So really, one of these teams like Milwaukee, the Knicks, and the Heat were all playoff teams this year. All good. You know, the Heat were in the finals.
Well,
Milwaukee got beat by the Heat, and the Knicks were in the semifinals.
Right.
The Wizards and Hornets were both terrible, and made a lot of trades to be really awful. But one of these teams could catch a heater right at the right time, right in November, December. And let's say you catch the Heat without some good players.
Right.
Let's say you catch them because they've just traded for Damian Lillard and those players
right.
are gone. And they can beat, you know, same thing. Let's say Giannis is hurt or so-and-so gets hurt or Brandon Miller's really good for the Hornets. You could see the Hornets, you know, making the mid-season tournament go on a streak and win something.
Right.
There's so much pro basketball. I don't need a mid-season tournament, but like I said, it's not extra. It's just, it's tournament night. It'll be this Friday is tournament night, and all the teams in the NBA are all playing games. Also, it's the tournament, so you know you'll be watching because all your teams will probably be playing their best players.
So at some point, though, your team will be knocked out of the tournament, right? Or do they keep on playing and they just
add once
up
you
the
hit
points?
Those, yeah, once you hit those 8, yes, those... You know, I guess that's a fair question. What happens with those other teams?
Like the really crappy teams.
Yeah.
So if they lose all their games,
but keep looking in. I'm going to
answer
just,
for next week.
That's a next week one. Yeah, we spent just enough time talking, but mid-season tournament. But that's a good question because there's 8 teams, but then there's also 22 teams
right.
who aren't playing any more games. 8 teams that are playing 2 or 3 more games. That's a good call there,
yeah,
guy.
Yeah,
so that's why you're sitting over there. That's why you got buttons
and
you're paying attention to the things. That's a good question to ask.
You got 3 minutes to talk about anything else.
3 minutes to talk everything about U.S. Gold Cup. We're going to squeeze in quick soccer.
Okay.
They beat Canada in a shootout to make the semifinals. They lost to Panama in a shootout to get knocked out of the Gold Cup. It was fun to watch soccer, even if it was MLS players, which doesn't represent the best players. It was fun to watch. It was exciting to watch a penalty shootout. Extra time in soccer takes a really long time, and a penalty shootout's a weird way to end a game.
Right.
But it was fun to watch soccer. So that was 1 second of that. The other one I want to talk about is there was an interesting article in ESPN talking about free agent running backs. There
yes.
was three. Ezekiel Elliott was a first-round pick of the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
currently unsigned, was a multiple-time Pro Bowler, one of the best running backs in football as of 3 or 4 years ago. Leonard Fournette was great in college.
Yep.
Was a first-round pick in the NFL, has been a Pro Bowler, played on a Super Bowl team, 27 years old, also a free agent. Yeah. Your own Minnesota Vikings have actually paid Dalvin Cook to not come back and play football for them. They have paid him to stay away.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really interesting Kareem Hunt, same thing. Yep. Played really good minutes for the Chiefs as a backup. Chiefs and Browns, doesn't even have the grind of a guy 27, 28 years old for unsigned.
Yeah. I think the running, those guys specifically, they're waiting to see what teams in training camp in a couple of weeks start and who's going to
Somebody's going to not look as good or get hurt.
Or they're just they're just holding out because they want better pay, theoretically. But the position has been so undervalued.
Yeah.
But because, look at Minnesota. They're going with our backup to Dalvin.
Yes.
And a couple other guys. One is a rookie.
This year was the first year since 2017 that there were two running backs taken in the first round of the NFL draft. Yeah, they are finding out, and this is where, for me, analytics is as much boring as it. As much as I don't want to say that the numbers and the math and the science of math that they're doing with the NFL is, they're showing that these guys cannot ask for the money. It just doesn't line up. It doesn't. They're getting what feels like replacement level.
It's a pass happy league at this point.
Yes,
Justin Jefferson is going to get paid.
They've found that they'd rather have three guys. Even if it's the same amount of money as one great running back, they'd rather have three guys who are pretty good than one guy that they can rely on.
But you have to, in order to get that money, though, you have to be a Christian McCaffrey at this point.
And only, because he is the only running back who looks like he's going to make that second contract or third contract, as it is. Christian McCaffrey signed a big deal a few years ago. He's now going on his third. Melvin Gordon is another guy, not second contract. There are guys that I think is very, very interesting, tells you where the NFL is going. I just thought that was an interesting article. If anybody,
we can kind of follow up with that in the next couple of weeks to see if the chips fall anywhere.
Well, training camp is all like the NFL, right around the corner.
Yeah, it is. I think it's next week.
Is it really? That's fantastic.
End of the next week or the beginning of the week after. Yeah. So.
It never ends. That is the best. We got time to play us out with one song for a couple of seconds. Maybe. We're going to go out with Cage the Elephant. Ain't No Rest for the Wicked. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks, everybody.
I was walking down the street when out the corner of my eye I saw a pretty little thing approaching me. She said, I never seen a man who looks so all alone. Could you use a little company? If you pay the right price, your evening will be nice and you can go and send me on my way. I said, you're such a sweet young thing, why you do this to yourself? She looked at me and this is what she said. Oh, there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow.